Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And our text once again for tonight is that verse 13. Luke 1 and verse 13. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. I will tonight, with the Lord's help, as we consider this man sent from God, namely John, I want to focus our attention primarily tonight upon those words, thy prayer is heard. We have been considering over the past couple of weeks the blessing of godly parents. And John the Baptist was indeed blessed with godly parents, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Our first message in looking at these godly parents, we considered their godly testimony. Their godly testimony is set out for us there in that verse 6. And they were both righteous before God. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. They were blameless. As already pointed out, no one could point the finger at Zacharias and Elizabeth with regard to keeping the law and the ordinances of God. Last week, after we had considered their godly testimony, we looked at their great disappointment, or their great trial. That trial being that they had no children, that Elizabeth was barren. We noted their disappointment and pointed out that this was a great disappointment for any Jewish wife to be without children, because every Jewish wife maintained that hope and trust that she would be honored with being the mother of the promised Messiah. And so it was a great disappointment for Elizabeth when she was barren and had no children and was now well stricken in years. Having no children was a great reproach. We noted not only the reproach, but the reason. It wasn't because of any sin and either Zacharias's or Elizabeth's lives that they were denied this particular blessing. We've already noted that in verse 6. They lived for the Lord, and they did so blamelessly. We noted also their response. How did this godly couple respond to this great disappointment? Once again, we return to verse 6. They were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments. That is the moral law and ordinances, the ceremonial law of the Lord, blameless. That's how they responded. They didn't fall back from serving the Lord because of this disappointment. They just continued on as they had done before. We notice their disappointment. We notice their days. For we are told in verse 7, they both were now well stricken in years. Humanly speaking, all hope was gone of them ever being parents to a child, and certainly to a son. We noted then their dedication, that even though the Lord had shut up the womb of Elizabeth, being denied the blessing of a child, they continued to serve the Lord. We read in verse 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, they remained dedicated to the Lord. That now brings us in the last place with regard to these godly parents, John's parents and the good tidings. Here is a story we can say that had a very happy ending. We noted their godly testimony. Yet in spite of their godly testimony, they endured a great trial, not having any children. But then the day came when Zacharias and Elizabeth received good tidings. We've already learned Zacharias executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. Verse 8. The Holy Spirit goes on to tell us more about the labors of this godly priest. But we read in verse 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. He didn't neglect his duty in the temple of the Lord. We pointed out last week, sometimes when Christians go through a particular trial, they take it out on the Lord, and they fall back and they don't attend the Lord's house as they once did. They fall back and they don't attend the Lord's house, and then after a while they say, well, we'll try somewhere else, we'll go somewhere else. And really, they're taking it out on the Lord. But here we read about Zacharias that his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And it was while he served in the temple, he received the glad tidings. For we are told, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And that angel had a message for Zacharias. Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. When all seemed lost, and when it seemed all hope was gone, Zacharias received these glad tidings. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. There's the glad tidings. Now regarding Zacharias and this great announcement about Elizabeth is going to bear a son, we notice the activity of Zacharias. The activity of Zacharias. Think again of the disappointment. Think again of the reproach that Elizabeth had to live with, because she had no children. It is a great blessing just to see how they continued to be active for the Lord. And I don't believe that it is any coincidence that before this great announcement was made to Zacharias that Elizabeth was going at last to have a child, I don't believe it's any coincidence that much is written about the activity, about the work and the walk of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Is not the Spirit of God teaching us something about this godly couple? That even though they live with this great disappointment, yet they continued on as before in serving the Lord and being active for the Lord. Notice his joy. We're told in verse 8, as a priest he had a duty to perform, that is, in the order of his course. This was a duty that he had been given to do, a work that he had been given to do by the Lord, being a priest. We know this from 1 Chronicles 24 and verse 19. These were the orderings of them in their service to come into the house of the Lord according to their manner under Aaron their father, as the Lord God of Israel had commanded him. And so what the priests did in carrying out their duties was according to the commandment of the Lord. And as we have already noted, Zacharias and Elizabeth walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And so here is Zacharias. He did not fail the Lord in any way, even though he suffered this great disappointment of not having a son. And we are told that he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course. You see, God is a God of order. And as Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, everything had to be done decently and in order. The priests had an order to follow, a duty to perform. And Zacharias carried out his orders as a priest of the Lord. This godly priest served God, the God of order. Therefore, he must be orderly in his service. If God is a God of order, and he expects things to be done decently and in order, then Zacharias, in spite of what he had to endure through many years of his married life, not having a child, Zacharias continued, and he was just as active for the Lord. As we said last week, he was as active for the Lord as he would have been had the Lord blessed him with 10 children. In spite of his disappointment of not having a son, he still gave the Lord his best. And he still walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And what did the Lord say, the Lord Jesus himself say, about those who obey his commandments? John 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And again he said in verse 21 of John 14, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. That's what we see about Zacharias. He kept the commandments and the ordinances, and he did so blameless. Why? Because he loved the Lord. He didn't love the Lord any less because the Lord had denied him a son. He still loved the Lord in keeping the Lord's commandments. Let us then take to heart the words of Samuel. Let us follow Zacharias' example. That when we suffer disappointment and the Lord denies us a particular blessing, let us continue on as usual. Let us continue to serve the Lord and continue to love the Lord and be just as active for the Lord as ever we were. And take to heart the words of Samuel, the elders of Israel. Turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. That's what Zacharias did. Served the Lord with all of his heart because he loved the Lord. Because he loved the Lord, he kept the Lord's commandments in spite of his great disappointment. We see his duty. We see his diligence. This is consistent with all that Zacharias did. Again in verse 9, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. That was his lot. That was his lot as a priest. To burn incense. And he carried out that duty. His lot to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. To burn incense was the lot of Zacharias, and with diligence he carried out his duty. He didn't fail to carry out his duty. He didn't falter in doing his duty. He didn't forsake doing his duty. Instead, with great diligence, he did the work that was his lot. Now, here's something. It is believed that in Jerusalem at that time, there were no less than 20,000 priests. Each one was given a duty. Each one was given a task, but the office or the duty of burning incense was the most coveted duty of all the priests. It was that one office that the priests would love to have been chosen to perform. And with there being so many priests, burning incense in the temple never happened to the priest twice in his lifetime. So what do we have? We have here a once-only opportunity. As far as the lot of a priest was concerned, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to burn incense. And Zacharias was not going to let that opportunity to pass him by. Now we can apply that to our hearts and to our lives. When we're given a once in a lifetime opportunity to serve the Lord, are we going to let that opportunity pass us by? Because if Zacharias had not have performed that duty of burning incense, another priest would have taken his place. And if we do not take hold of the opportunities to serve the Lord that he gives us, do you know what will happen? The Lord will pass us by and that work will be given to somebody else. And that somebody else will be the one who will receive the well done of God. And we'll miss out. If we miss the opportunity, we'll miss the blessing of God. I have only one life on this earth. And as vapor, it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth. Our toils end at the close of the day. Only one life to give. I could never withhold it from God. Only one life to live. I must not miss the well done of God. And I marvel at Zacharias. In spite of disappointment, in spite of his wife Elizabeth living with this reproach of being childless, Zacharias still went on to receive the well done of God. Because he walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. That's God's testimony of Zacharias. That's what God said about Zacharias. As well as his activity, we come now to the angel and Zacharias. It was while he was offering the incense, something unexpected took place. There in verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. How often have we said in the past that you never know what will happen at a prayer meeting? You never know. Well, here was a prayer meeting. We are told, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. That was significant. A whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. Mark that. Prayer is coupled with the offering up of incense. What is significant about that? Well, in Psalm 141, verse 2, this is what David said. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And so here we see that the psalmist likens prayer to the offering up of incense. For just as the incense were spread upon the hot coals of the altar of incense, and that incense burned, and the smoke of that incense would ascend, and the holy place would be filled with the aroma of the incense. And David says, let my prayers be set forth before thee as incense. Let my prayers ascend to heaven and be as a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. The same teaching is found in the book of the Revelation. For there we read in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 3, and another angel, the angel again, and another angel came and stood at the altar, just as the angel had stood on the right side of the altar of incense. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it, mark the words, with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So here we have incense and prayer linked together in Psalm 141, in Revelation chapter 3, and in Luke chapter 1. And in the light of this, it was at the time of prayer and the offering up of the incense, which speaks to us of prayer. Is it interesting then that it was at that time that the angel appeared and said to Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. Isn't it interesting that the angel made mention of the prayer of Zacharias, made mention of it at the time that Zacharias offered up the incense, which speaks to us of prayer, and at the time when a multitude of people were praying without. And the angel came at that specific, particular time and told Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. Now, since Zacharias and Elizabeth were told, were stricken in years, according to the natural course of things, they could have But we can see here that while Zacharias and Elizabeth, in all probability, had given up praying for a child because of their age, the Lord hadn't given up on their prayers. They may have given up praying, but the Lord hadn't given up on their prayers. Because the angel said, fear not, Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. What tremendous encouragement we can get from these words. Thy prayer is heard. You'll notice regarding the angel and Zacharias, the Lord received the prayer of Zacharias. That's what it tells us. Thy prayer is heard. That tells us the Lord had received his prayers. His prayers for a son. Throughout all the years of his married life, no doubt Zacharias and Elizabeth had prayed for a son. And when they received no answer, I'm sure they felt, did the Lord hear our prayers? Did the Lord receive our prayers? Yet these words tell us that while Zacharias and Elizabeth may have prayed and prayed for years and saw no answer, yet when they were old and well stricken in years, the angel came and said, "Thy prayer is heard." In other words, thy prayer has been received. The psalmist has said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." And certainly sin can be a hindrance to prayer being answered. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Well, that was not true of Zacharias. We've already learned that. Because he walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. So Zacharias had not harbored sin in his heart. Proverbs 15, verse 29. There we read, "He heareth the prayers of the righteous." He heareth the prayers of the righteous. And listen, listen. If the Lord does not respond immediately or answer our prayers immediately, the Lord has still heard. The Lord has still received our prayers. Don't be in any doubt about that. Again, Proverbs. "The prayer of the upright is his delight." It is the Lord's delight to hear and to receive the prayers of his children and of the upright. And that is evidenced here when the angel said to Zacharias, "Thy prayer is heard," even though Zacharias had probably stopped praying because of his age. But the prayers that had been offered to the Lord those many years before, the Lord hadn't forgotten them. The Lord had not forgotten them. The Lord had not turned a deaf ear to the prayers of Zacharias and Elizabeth. The angel says, "Zacharias, thy prayer is heard." Not only had the Lord received his prayer, but these words tell us the Lord remembered his prayer. I'm sure none of us tonight, none of us here, can remember all the prayers we have ever offered to the Lord from the day we were saved. I'm sure we could only remember a very few of them. Those that perhaps we recite over and over again every time we come to the place of prayer. We remember those all right. But what about all the other prayers that we have forgotten? Over the years of being a child of God, of being a Christian, we've offered to the Lord many prayers. And many of those prayers we have forgotten. But the Lord hasn't. The Lord hasn't forgotten our prayers. And the Lord remembered prayers of Zacharias and Elizabeth. "Thy prayer is heard." You go back with me, or rather go forward with me to that, those few verses in Revelation 8. There in Revelation 8 and verse 3, We look again at those words. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints. Look carefully at those words of verse 3. The angel has the incense. The angel comes before the altar. And the angel offers up the incense with the prayers of all saints. All saints. What about those weak saints? What about those men and women? And they're only saved a short time. And they pray to the Lord. And they feel, oh, well, I've with stammering lips, I've stumbled through a prayer. Do you think the Lord heard, received, and remembered that prayer? Yes, he did. The prayers of all saints. And whenever we pray, where are those prayers now? All the prayers that we have offered to the Lord, where are they now? Revelation tells us. They're in the golden vials which are before the throne of God. You see, that tells us how precious prayers are. The prayer of the upright is his delight. And whether those prayers come from a newborn babe in Christ, whether those prayers come from a weak Christian, or those prayers come from a Christian who's just about to cross over Jordan, and they offer a prayer in the weakness of their frame, the Lord still receives them, and the Lord will always remember them. Thy prayer is heard, indicating that the Lord had heard the prayers of Zacharias and his wife those many years before. And Zacharias, it was said, probably had stopped praying. But the Lord still remembered his prayers. Would you turn with me to Genesis, please? In Genesis chapter 18. The Lord has revealed unto Abraham that he's going to destroy the cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham, that is long, is living there. He's living in the gate of Sodom. When the Lord told Abraham that he was going to destroy the cities of the plain, we're told in Genesis 18 and verse 23, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? He's thinking about Lot. And he's saying to the Lord, spare that place because of the righteous. He's really saying, because Lot is there. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city, wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous? that are there. What do we have here? We have Abraham, and he's praying for Lot. That's what he's praying. That Lot will not be destroyed along with the ungodly. Now turn over to chapter 19. Chapter 19 of Genesis. And verse 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. God remembered Abraham. That is, God remembered the prayers of Abraham for Lot. You see how it's connected? God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. God remembered Abraham. In other words, God remembered the prayers of Abraham when he drew near to God and prayed for the righteous. Now go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Chapter 1. And there we read in verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she, that is Hannah, was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. Verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. What was Hannah praying for? She was praying for a son. And had been praying for a son for some time. But the Lord had not answered her prayer at that time. Then we go to verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house, to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. The Lord remembered Hannah. That is, the Lord remembered Hannah's prayers, because he blessed her with a son. And dear Christian, dear child of God tonight, don't be disheartened. If the Lord hasn't answered your prayers, don't be discouraged and think to yourself, the Lord hasn't even heard my prayers. Don't have the devil tell you your prayers are not good enough. We read there in Revelation 8 and verse 3 that in the golden censer, along with the incense, were the prayers of all saints. The humble prayers, the stammering prayers, the Lord has heard them all. And our prayers, the Lord has not forgotten them. He has them in the golden vials before his throne in heaven. And one day, we may hear by faith those words, thy prayer is heard. that prayer you offered years ago, I've heard it. And I'm going to answer. We see that the Lord received his prayer, the Lord remembered his prayer, and the Lord responded to his prayer. After many years of praying, the Lord did respond to those prayers. Zacharias and Elizabeth received an answer, a long awaited answer. It came. So when John was born, Zacharias and Elizabeth could have said to John, "You know, son, we prayed for you. We've been praying for you long before you were even born." That's what Hannah was able to say. For Hannah was able to say regarding Samuel, she was able to say in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 12, "And it came to pass as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli marked her mouth." She continued praying. Even though she hadn't got an answer, she continued praying. Even though she didn't have a son, she continued praying. Over the years, she continued praying. And then we read in verse 26, "And they slew a bullock," verse 25, "and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him." Aren't those great words? She continued praying. Over the years, continued praying. No answer, but she continued praying until the day the Lord responded to her prayer. And she was able to say to Eli, "You remember, I stood before thee one day and I was praying, and it was for this child I was praying, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him." What does that tell us? What does that teach us? Teaches us, don't give up praying. Don't give up. Don't give in. Continue to pray. Because the Lord told Zacharias, "Thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. And thou shall call his name John." Powerful, great encouragements there. Thy prayer is heard. And you have not only the activity of Zacharias, the angel and Zacharias in the last place, the announcement to Zacharias. The announcement is there in verse 13. "But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." The long-awaited answer had come at last. Great when that happens. You're praying for someone or something, and the answer comes at last. What joy fills your heart. And it came at a time when all hope had gone. Came at a time when all hope had gone, because Zacharias and Elizabeth were old and well stricken in years. This, There is always hope when God still answers prayer. There's always hope. The long promise this godly couple waited for has at last been fulfilled. Thy prayer is heard. Thou shalt bear a son, and thou shalt call his name John. They're interesting, very interesting matters to do with the name Zacharias, the name Elizabeth, and the name John. And it all ties in with prayer. Zacharias. The name Zacharias means remembered by Jehovah. Remembered by Jehovah. Zacharias' prayers were remembered by Jehovah. Elizabeth. Her name means, my God has promised. And the angel came that day and told Zacharias, thy prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. That was the promise. And the Lord kept his promise. And John, thou shalt call his name John. What does John mean? John means God is gracious. Now you apply that to this godly couple, and you apply that to their prayers, and it all ties in. Zacharias, remembered by Jehovah. The Lord hadn't forgotten Zacharias or his prayers. He was remembered by Jehovah. Elizabeth, God has promised. He promised her a son, and he gave her a son. And John, God is gracious. And when God answers our prayers, what do we say? God is gracious. And my, whenever Elizabeth was delivered of a son, and she held that child in her arms, and Zacharias looked over her shoulder, and the both of them looked into the face of that long-awaited child, what did they say? God is gracious. When God answers our prayers, we also are able to say, God is gracious. Remember those words. Thy prayer is heard. We'll begin to look at John the Baptist himself, a man sent from God, Lord willing, next Sabbath day. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we bless thee that thou art gracious. We thank thee that God is gracious. We rejoice that God remembers our prayers. He receives our prayers. And that thou art the God who responds to our prayers. Prayers were offered to thee long ago. Things we prayed for then, we've given up praying for. But Lord, thou dost still remember them. And we thank thee for that. Thy prayer is heard. O Lord, for those matters that we have been praying for, may we Lord, bless our prayer lives. Help us to keep holding on. And, O Lord, may we keep praying until we hear the word, thy prayer is heard. Now, may the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Amen.